Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Or shall I say, happy Thanksgiving to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My dear friends in Christ, there's a Peanuts cartoon that shows Charlie Brown on Thanksgiving Day taking out Snoopy his bowl of food. When he took it out there, Snoopy looked at the bowl of food, kind of turned his nose up with these words, "It's not fair. The rest of the world is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food because I'm a dog. All I get is dog food." He stood there for a moment and stared at the dog food in the dish, and then he says, "I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." On this national day of Thanksgiving, we're afforded the opportunity to pause for a moment, simply to remember with thanksgiving all that God has given and all that God has done for you and me. But have you ever noticed how hard that is? Have you ever got to the point in your life where you look at your glass and you say, "Is my glass half full or is my glass half empty?" If that's where you're at today, I'm going to challenge you for a second. First of all, to recognize you have a glass. And second of all, to recognize the fact that there's actually something in it. Indeed, something to be thankful for. It seems like sometimes you and I have adopted the verse from Psalm 55, 17a as our verse for life that says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur." All of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we have something to be truly thankful for. When we stop long enough to think about it, we can think that there's a lot that's a catalyst that would spur us on to sing God's praises and to say, "Thank you, Lord, for all you have given me." But sometimes we don't look at the blessings that God gives us as being blessings. Now, have you ever stopped for a moment and gave thanks for a kitchen sink full of dirty dishes? You might do that this afternoon, but there's a little poem I found that may make you look at dirty dishes a little bit differently. "Thank God for dirty dishes. They have a story to tell. While others may go hungry, we've eaten very well. With home and health and happiness, I shouldn't want to fuss. But the stack of evidence, God's been very good to us." So the dirty dishes this afternoon are a great way to remind us that God has truly provided for us. So do I have any volunteers to come to my house to do our dirty dishes? Now, in our Old Testament lesson for today is that time right before the Israelites would enter into the promised land, and God's kind of queuing them up to have them kind of remember and then to look forward with these words. "The whole commandment that I commanded you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." 40 years wandering in the wilderness. 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and now God has got them on the very precipice of the promised land, and their feet are about ready to walk through the river Jordan and enter the land that God had given them to possess. God had showered all these blessings upon them. But on that day, it would have been very easy for the Israelites to say, "We're self-sufficient. Look it, we went through 40 years in the wilderness. There wasn't a tree or grass anywhere. And we ate, and look, I even might have gained some weight. Look at all that I've accomplished." And forgotten all about what God had done for them. In spite of God's commandments to the Israelites to stop and remember, they failed to listen to the warnings of God. Over time, the Israelites completely forgot all that the Lord God had done for them. Over time, they began to give thanks and praise to the idols they had erected in their presence, they'd inherited from the nations that lived around them, instead of giving thanks and praise to the one who had provided all of the blessings they had, including the very land that they were standing upon that day. I wonder how often you and I are in that same danger when God blesses us so greatly that we choose to forget. You know, we choose to forget every time. In everything we have, we think we come about it upon our own doing. And we look at the Israelites and condemn them by saying, how could you be so stupid? You witnessed with your own eyes, or you heard of it from your forefathers, the 10 plagues God placed upon Egypt, and that He had released you, Pharaoh had, and you had entered in, and then God had split the Red Sea, and you went through on dry ground. How God, that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire that God had led and defended you, and how God had fed you with bread from heaven and water from a rock, and for 40 years your clothes didn't wear out, and your shoes and your feet didn't swell. It was amazing. How could you not now give thanks to God for all that He has done? It's easy to think that way, isn't it? If I could have just saw the Red Sea part, or heard my father or my grandfather tell me about that, man, I would have acted completely different than the Israelites in the time of Moses when they entered the Promised Land, because the reality was they had so much to be thankful for. And then I open the small catechism and begin to read what Luther had to say. And he so beautifully illustrates the real evidence for our thankfulness. He says, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes and ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. And then Luther goes into a whole litany of everything God provides, including the kitchen sink. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this He does only out of the fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty, get this, to thank and praise, serve, and obey Him. And then he puts that little ending on, this is most certainly true. The Lord is active in our lives. He provides for us. He blesses us. He gives us all that we have to support this body and life. And Paul kind of laid it all out in Acts chapter 17. God literally provides life and breath in all that we have. But there are times where we begin to think that it's all about us, and we forget all about Him. There are times we think that we've come about all these things on our own. Be it my house, my home. Not too many people own livestock here today, but the reality is our cars, our little electronic devices, all the things we have, God has provided for us. And just like the Israelites of old, so often we simply forget to give thanks. It says in Deuteronomy, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, and that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It amazes me how easily we can focus more upon the blessings than upon the giver. It was 2 weeks ago, Sunday. I think she sat back in the corner back there. She left the church in good health. And with a matter of hours, she was struck with a stroke and has a hard time speaking, and the right side of her body is completely inoperable. I'm talking about our sister in Christ, Regina. One never knows when the life we live and the blessings that God has so richly provided for us, the things we take so much for granted, are so quickly taken away. Look no further than the city of Paradise, California, that's not there. For all the homes that were destroyed and all the things that have been taken away, the earthly things that so often we think we've got them on our own and we've accomplished this, and it's all about the, and then it's gone. It gives you and I this morning a great opportunity to just stop and give thanks for all that God has given. And at times to stop and give thanks for the excess God has given that we can share with those that don't have anything. You know, as I think about Thanksgiving, there's a lot to be said about turkeys. It's my job to carve it. I did that last night. We carve it the night before, and it's in a bowl, and you can just take pieces instead of having to do it the day of. It works pretty good. But it's not about turkey. It's not about stuffing or potatoes and all that stuff. It's not about the excess or the gluttony that so often we as Americans participate in this time of year. It's in the gift of Christ Jesus upon the cross. You know, the greatest blessings we have is found in Him. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. You know, you're just like the Israelites of old because God has promised you at the end of your wilderness wanderings. In other words, when your life ends, Jesus has said, I have prepared a place for you. It's a land of promise that you and I look forward to. An opportunity together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven to simply stand in the presence of Him and sing His praises in great thanksgiving. In a few moments, you're going to be invited forward to receive the Lord's Supper, often referred to as the Eucharist, which means thanks, by the way. We're going to come up and receive thanks from the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith, to give thanks for all that He has provided. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.